into chapter 8. And I'll tell you, I know people don't read the Bible like they used to, because if they did, they'd be scared to death to read the Bible and then turn on the evening news and see the condition that our country, not to mention the rest of the world, what's going on in the rest of the world. If people were reading the book of Revelation, we'd see more people saved. We'd see more people get right with God. We'd see Christians get right. Amen. You wouldn't have to beg them, pump them, prime them, and plead with them to get them to love the Lord and go to church and do right. If they believe that book, they claim they believe it. Now, I don't know. I know when I read it and I look at what's going on around, I say, thank you, Lord, that I can see that. That you've opened my eyes and I can see it. And even as a child of God, I know I'm going to heaven. I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I was there when I was born again. I was there. I know it happened. And even that way, I'm still fearful when I read this book and see the things that are going on around us. Amen? Any minute. Imminent. That's the big word. Imminent. Y'all didn't know a boy from Lancaster could say a big word like that, did you? I can spell it too. And imminent is his return. Any moment he could show up. Now, I'm like you. I hope it is tonight. I'd sure like to get caught in church, wouldn't you? A lot of other places people's going to get caught and they're going to be ashamed. So, Brother Bobby, if he comes tonight, we're in the right place at the right time. Amen? Amen. So let's read verses 1 through 6. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, the reason is what they saw was so awesome and terrible that nobody could speak for about that length of time, half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. Now, you know what a censer is. It's on a long chain, and it's a little, like a little bowl, and it opens up, and you put incense in it, lit incense, and they would go through the temple and pray while they swung that, and that would represent the prayer of the saints, that smoke going up. So that's what he's got now. He's got a censer in his hand, if you look at it. And I saw seven angels stood before God and given seven trumpets. Another angel stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now we'll stop right there for now. Father, help us tonight as we study your word, Lord. We need some wisdom. We need insight. We need vision. We need revelation. God, we need understanding. Now I know that we don't understand all of this. We never will. But Lord, there are some things you've given us in your word. And I pray tonight you'd open them to us. And if there's one among us, Lord, that doesn't know you, I pray the fear of God would fall on them tonight. And those of us that do know you, God, we still need to fear you as a father. So help us, Lord. And as we go out in this world this week, help us to warn people, to sound our trumpet, that the King is coming and they better get ready. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in order to understand this, we need to go back to Matthew 24. If you will, go back to Matthew 24. I have to keep reminding people that this is during that great tribulation, or the Old Testament calls it the time of Jacob's trouble, when God is bringing judgment on the earth, not for the Gentile, but for the Jew, because he's trying to bring the nation of Israel into the fold. And it's the end of days, and he's got to prove himself to the children of Israel. The Bible says the Jews require a sign. They've had many people claim to be the Savior. So it requires a powerful sign from God for these Jews to believe. So the whole earth is suffering because of the God's dealing with the Jews, it affects the whole earth because he's got to bring them from all the different places in all the different nations to bring them back to the nation of Israel, where the Bible says a nation will be born in a day. They'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and they'll believe on him. And that's what the whole tribulation period is about. I don't care what that TV preacher said. It's not about the church. Church is gone. Church is gone. Chapter 4, we left out of here, chapter 4. We're not going to see the church again until about chapter 19. He's dealing with the children of Israel, and it's affecting the whole earth. And God's pouring out his wrath upon the earth. And it's, hey, the Jew's going to see it, and it's going to bring him to God. It's going to bring the nation to God. So look at Matthew 24. These are the things not happening now. Now, you may see some things in Matthew chapter 24 which sound a little bit like now, but it's not with the same level of what's going to happen in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, look at it with me. We'll start with verse 4. In verse 3, they had asked, what is the sign of thy coming? So he's explaining it in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Boy, we could park it right there, couldn't we? Take heed. Wake up. Pay attention so that no one will deceive you. There's a lot of deceived people. A lot of good people that are deceived. And a lot of bad people that are deceived. And I'm talking about there are a lot of Christians who have been deceived. Now, and he said, don't allow that to happen. Don't let anybody deceive you. And what's he talking about? What's the sign of thy coming? For many shall come in my name and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Do you see that? He said there's a lot of people coming that say they're the Savior, they're the Christ. We got Buddha, we got Muhammad, we got Hare Krishna, we got the Moonies, they call them the Moonies, Reverend Young Sung Moon. There's a guy in South Korea now that says he is, well, he started out saying he was Jesus Christ. Now he says he's the Antichrist. And he says the Antichrist is really the Christ. And he makes all the people in his church, they're getting tattooed on their hand or in their head. They're getting tattooed. This is true. Thousands. He's got thousands of church members. And they're getting tattoos. 666. He said you got to take his mark to be saved. And they're following him. And they're selling everything they've got and giving him. Moonies do the same thing. Reverend Young Sung Moon. In order to join his church, you got to sign over everything you got to his church. And he arranges your marriage. And if he don't like who you're married to, he'll rearrange it and marry you to somebody else. And there's many false Christs out there. They're all over this place. There's a lot of them that claim to be Christian evangelists and preachers and teachers. They're false. They're false teachers. And they're doing it for the love of money. And so he said, take heed that you don't be deceived. Many will be. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Boy, don't we hear that right now? Right now, at last I read the other day, there were about 100 things that we would call wars going on in the world right now. 100. And there's about 5 major wars. And of course, ours being with, well, our president don't say it, but ours is with Muslim fanatics. That's the number one war. He said, you're going to hear about these wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, that's not the end of the world. You hear people say, well, the end of the world's coming. Well, that's not true. The end of the world can't come for at least 1,007 years. It is coming. Jesus has got to come. The tribulation's got to go on 7 years. He's got to come back and set up his kingdom and rule the world for 1,000 years. He's going to rule the world from Jerusalem. So then the end will come because Satan's going to be loose for a season. We don't even know how long a season is. And then the people that were born during that time, a lot of them's going to follow Satan again. And then there's going to be that great battle and the end of the world, and the earth's going to melt with the fervent heat in the heaven and be rolled back like a scroll. That's the end of the world. It's not happening tomorrow. Global warming is a lie. What's that other thing they call it? Climate change. Well, there's always been climate change. He said that way back in Genesis. There'll be seasons. But I'm putting a rainbow up in the sky to remind you this ain't happening again. There's always climate change. Amen? There always has been. And see, that's just stuff to distract us from the real meaning of all this. Amen? So look at it. He said, then shall they deliver you. No, I'm sorry, I skipped. It says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Now, that's the tribulation period. We talked about that the other week. Those four horsemen, when they come through, when that the first one comes, he's a fake peacemaker. He's the Antichrist. And then the next one comes, and he brings war, and then that brings famine, and then that brings death. War always brings famine because people are not working the fields. They're fighting each other and they're destroying food. And then famine always brings death. So that's coming. Is there hunger now? Sure there is. Is there famine now? Sure there is. Is there war now? Sure there is. But nothing the likes of what they'll see during the tribulation period. Amen? All right. Look here. He says, all these, no, he said there'll be pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, we hadn't even seen the beginning yet. And we think we see bad stuff. But compared to what's going to be in tribulation period, it's nothing. And all, hey, look, he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, he's talking about Israel. Ye, the nation of Israel, shall be hated by all other nations for my name's sake. And so you see, that's the tribulation period. And again, he said, false Christ. And look at verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endure till the end, the same shall be saved. Now, I want you to look at this. To be saved now, we don't endure to the end. According to Ephesians chapter 2, we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We don't endure. We have the grace of God. Has nothing to do with works. We go by His finished work. In the tribulation period, it's going to be different. In order to be saved, you have to die for Jesus Christ and your profession of faith. And then look down there, it says verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Those angels that come and preach and those 144,000 Jews that preach the gospel, they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the grace of God. You and I got the gospel of the kingdom says Jesus is coming to set up His kingdom. Get ready. You're going to have to follow Him. You're going to have to receive Him. He's coming to set up His kingdom. And that's the good news of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, we got saved by the grace of God. Somebody preached the gospel of the grace of God to us. And now, don't get that mixed up. That put us into the kingdom of God. But these people are going to be dying to enter the kingdom of God. And I'm just glad I was saved in the age of grace. I don't have to worry about dying for what I believe. I may yet die for what I believe. Okay, go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 8. Now, God's sending out six warnings that are mentioned under this seventh seal. Now, you remember, there were seven seals. The first seal was a false peace. Under the second seal was war. Under the third seal was famine. Under the fourth seal was death. Under the fifth seal was martyrdom. Under the sixth seal was all these physical disturbances. And now we come to the seventh seal being opened. Verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence about the space of half an hour. And that, I told you the reason that is. It's so terrible that all heaven got quiet. I want you to know heaven's not quiet. And it must be a terrible thing that all the angels and all the creatures of God and all the children of God from all the ages that are in heaven, that they would stop and for half an hour say nothing. Brother Rick, you ever saw anything that just made you speechless? You speechless a lot. Maybe I need to ask Billy that. Billy, you ever seen anything that was speechless? Made you speechless? I mean, it was just so... Either it was so good it made you speechless, or it was so bad you just didn't know what to say. Now, I've seen very few things in my life that made me speechless. I've seen some. I've seen a few things that were so terrible I just didn't know what to say. I just weep. Didn't know what to say. And so to me, that's telling me that up in heaven there's something about to happen that's got to be a terrible thing. So there it is. That seventh seal is open. And then I want you to know if you'll look at that verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now those trumpets, any time that a trumpet was mentioned in the Old Testament, it was for several things. One, it was a call to gathering. Two, it was a call of warning. Or it was a call of victory. And so these seven angels are going out with seven trumpets, and they're sounding seven warnings. Nothing to celebrate. Nothing to say. Hey, boy, at the Feast of Pentecost, they would have a big time and celebrate, you know, that God blessed them those years there in the wilderness, and they'd sound trumpets and just have them old-fashioned Baptist camp meeting. But this, nobody's going to be shouting on these trumpets. And nobody's going to be dancing in the Spirit or running the aisles or anything like that. These are seven judgments. These are seven judgments. They're about to fall. Now, judgment always falls the trumpet sound of charge. And they're not going to sound a retreat. There's not going to be a retreat. It's just going to be charge. And God's going to do some things. Now, the Bible says that because of that, verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar. Now, that's the altar of God in heaven. God's got an altar there. God's got a copy of the Old Testament tabernacle there. That's where it originated. And it's up in heaven. And so there's an altar there. And so this angel come and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And it was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which were before the throne. Now do you know what he's saying? That angel come up there, and God gave him a golden censer, and he put in incense inside that thing and fire off that altar, and he put it in there, and that incense began to burn, and he began to walk around that altar, and he began to pray. Now, who just died? Thousands of people died. We just got through studying that last week. Thousands of people died. And it says they were under altar praying, God, when are you going to give us justice? We died for the Lord Jesus Christ in our testimony. And he's praying for them. And he's also praying for the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel. They're about to go out and start preaching through all the world the gospel of the kingdom. Kind of like John the Baptist, prepare to meet thy God. Kind of like the Old Testament saints. He was the last of the Old Testament saints. And boy, he went around and he looked at him. He said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And boy, that angel's walking around with that censer. And God recognizes that as the prayers of the saints. And you know, we think about praying. We don't think much about it. But boy, God loves to, boy, those prayers come up before him. And I don't know how he does it. He's God. But I can pray and you can pray and everybody all over the world can pray at the same time. And God can sort those things out. And God can answer those prayers all at one time. And God loves to see that. To him, it's like the Bible says, a sweet incense when prayers come up before him. I've had people talk to me and they'll say, well, I don't know if I should even pray about that. It's such a little thing. I said, no, sir. It'd be sweet. It'd be like sweet incense if you would pray that. God would like you to pray that. God likes the prayers of his saints. Now, in chapter 8, there's something about to happen. And that angel stands before the altar. And he's preparing that smoke and those incense. And he's praying. Those prayers of the saints are going up. They're sending up. Look, verse 4. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. Now look at this. And cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Every once in a while somebody say, you one of them old Bible thumping Baptists. You one of those old hellfire and damnation preachers. I said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till he casts that censer down. You ain't heard nothing yet. When he casts that thing into the earth, and literally now, hey, he's up in heaven, and he's putting up the prayers of the saints, and he casts them into the earth. You know what's going to happen? God's going to bring vengeance on the earth to the unbelievers that have killed the saints and beheaded people and burnt churches and persecuted his children. And when that censer comes down with the prayers of the saints, the judgment of God's going to follow that. And there's going to be thunderings. Thundering. I believe that literally. And there's going to be lightnings. There's going to be earthquakes. I believe that literally. There's several ways you can read the Bible. And one of them is literally. Now, sometimes if it doesn't make sense, then maybe it's symbolic. But this makes a lot of sense to me. God's bringing judgment on the earth. And God's going to bring vengeance for all of those children of God that's been persecuted and belittled and berated and beaten and hanged and their heads cut off and everything else. And listen, it's coming. We live in a world now where they have, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it anywhere, they've neutered God. He's not a manly type figure anymore. He's some old grandpa. And everybody thinks one day everything's going to, the judgment's going to come, and he's sitting on a big throne up there with candy canes like Santa Claus. And they think he's finally just going to look at everybody and say, "Oh, just come on in," like a grandpa. No, sir. No, sir. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath. Yes, he's a God of mercy and grace and long-suffering and goodness. Yes, he is, or we wouldn't be here. But one day, his patience is going to run out. One day, Anna spent the night with us and her little boy, Millen. Millen got to, of course, he's a little baby, you know, he don't know no better, but he got to pitching a fit about not wanting to go to bed. And she kept begging him, you know, do this. You know how y'all women are begging young, you know. Man, don't beg that young and tell him what to do. My children never told me no. It was against the rules. You don't tell your daddy no. You do what he says. You don't say no to me, you'll get a whipping. And they went with me to see my mama today, and they still like that. They might not agree with me. They might question me, but they ain't going to do it out loud. I went there, and I got that boy. I said, "Let me put him to bed." "No, no, no." And I picked his little hiney up. And he's thick as a rock or brick or something. And he's trying, "No, no, no, put me down." I said, "I'm not putting you down. And if they'll let me, I'll spank you. You're going to bed." And I took him up there and I firmly put him in that bed. I said, "Now, shut up. Go to sleep." Now, I'm grandpa. I don't usually do that. When I was a daddy, I did. But that ain't grandpa's job. It's my job to ruin them. Danny ain't here. He had to go plan that Princess Di wedding for his daughter tonight at another church. But what Danny says, it's our job to get them to be ruined. I can't say it. Ruined. Say it. You can say it. I knew it. Listen, that's my job. Grandpa's not to bring judgment. Grandpa's to pet them after they get judged. Amen? But God ain't no grandpa. God's the creator of the universe. He's holy. He's pure. He's perfect. He's high and lifted up. And he will judge this world one day. And the Bible says that angel took that censer. He done prayed, you know, and the saints, the prayers of the saints had went up before the altar of God. And he took that censer and he cast it into the earth. When it come down, there are lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes. Yes, I believe in old-fashioned hellfire, damnation, preaching and teaching, because I believe one day it's going to fall. Yes, fire and brimstone, it's coming. And the earth's going to melt with a fervent heat. And God will bring judgment. Nobody, not one person on planet earth is going to get away with one thing. Not one. He paid for the sins of the whole world. And if you don't want to believe that, you can pay for your own sins. Because sin must be paid for. It must be judged. If God doesn't do that, then He's not holy and He's not righteous. And God is holy. He is righteous. And He cannot get... He's got to judge. He's got to let it fall. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. It's the end. And the judgment's falling. And that angel, he come out there after he prayed for all those saints. Now, listen, those saints, their prayers went up and that smoke ascended up and God liked it. And then he took those same prayers in that same, with the same incense and the fire. And he cast it into the earth. You know why? He said, now judge the earth for what they did to these people. Now you go ahead, President, make fun of what I believe, but judgment's coming. You go ahead, Muslim, and make fun of us, and you think we're weak because we turn the other cheek and because we love sinners, but I got news for you. Your Allah's a fake, and my God's real, and one day the fire's going to fall, and you're going to find out. Go ahead, you homo, and make fun of us, and you call us names because we believe in godly marriage and godly relationships, and make fun of us. Go ahead and make fun of us. But one day you're going to stand before a holy God, and your little fake rainbow ain't going to help a stinking thing. He's got the real one. Amen. Go ahead, communists. And by the way, communists ain't dead. Russia's coming back. China's coming back. They laughed at our president this week, made fun of him. He deserves to be made fun of. I ain't talking about politics either. The man's an antichrist. He is a antichrist. You know what they did to him? He went to that G8 summit. That's where the greatest eight nations in the world meet to tell all the rest of us what to do with our money and our oil and all that stuff, our business. So he lands in China on that Air Force One, that big, beautiful, the whole world used to shake at it landing. And it lands, and the Chinese, usually every country when it happens, and to all the other countries they did, they'll roll a red carpet out to the door and get one of those big stairways to reach that front door, and then the president will come down, they'll be lined up on each side saluting him. Not him. The ladder never showed up. The carpet never showed up. Not one distinguished person showed up. Not one military person showed up. The airplane pilot had to open the back door, which has little steps on it, and let him off the back door. Nobody came out and recognized him. Nobody saluted him. They were laughing at him, making fun of him. He deserves it. But I got news for you, China. You go ahead and you punish those poor people for trying to have church at home. And you punish them for owning a Bible. And you punish them and persecute them because they're going to worship something beside your stinking dictator. Go ahead, North Korea. You do the same thing. But one day the fire's going to fall, buddy. And when it falls, judgment is coming with it. Preacher, that's why I can't bring anybody here. You just run, holler and scare people, talk about judgment, talk about the fire falling. Hey, I ain't John the Baptist, but I'm Ron the Baptist. Amen. Prepare to meet thy God. Amen. Amen. Prepare his way. Make straight the path. He's coming. You have to be a complete numbskull to look at the way the world is and not believe this is about to happen. You have to be dumb as a box of rocks. That's in Ron chapter 1 verse 22. Look, how can anybody look at these things, Brother Jeffrey, and not know that the end is approaching? And how can anybody think there's a God in heaven that will not judge? I mean, He owns the place. He owns us. He owns everything in it. Why would you think when He came, He didn't come to judge? He will come to judge. And before He gets here, He's going to bring some judgment and stir some people up, buddy. I'm going to tell you this. Now, I know there's going to be some people saved during the tribulation period. I'm going to tell you this. I think there's going to be some Baptist churches that's got some more people in them then than they have now. I mean, all the churches. You can't only get people to go to church anymore. They're so wrapped up in worldly things and worldly pleasure and worldly entertainment. Hard to get them to be faithful to church. And during that time, when they see the fire fall, buddy, I guarantee you there'll be some full churches. You remember September 11th when the fire fell that day? Yes, sir. The next Sunday, the whole country, churches were packed with people. The government leaders were going to church again. They were praying again. The churches for just a couple months got revived, man. People was having prayer meetings every night, preaching every night, begging God to have mercy on us. And, of course, that didn't last long, did it? But if it... Hey, you read the book of Revelation. If it takes tragedy, He'll send some tragedy. If it takes fire, He'll send some fire. He's not like me and you. He's not a big old happy grandpa up there. And God's angry with the wicked every day. And since the wicked are multiplying, when they outnumber the righteous, God is going to do just like He did with Sodom. Well, you can't judge me. I was born this way. Yeah, that's probably what they said in Sodom right before the fireball fell on it. Amen? Amen. Columbia, they had the Columbia paper, the state paper, said they had tens of thousands in the street the other day for the they call it the Pride Day now. Well, go ahead and call it that. Pride's sinful. But it's the gay pride. And by the way, that word gay is the wrong word. They shouldn't use that. That's the wrong word. Sodomy pride. Sodomite pride. That's the Bible word for it. Sodomite. Men with men and women with women. Look, let me tell you something. Go ahead. Have your little march. Carry your little stinking sign. Carry your little flag. Men dress up like women. Women dress up like men. And look at old fundamentalists like me and say, you're a dying breed. Well, I got news for you. When we're out of here, you're doomed. Brother Bobby, when that trumpet sounds, the judgment's going to fall, buddy. That censer's coming down full of fire, and there'll be earthquakes and all kinds of things, voices and thunderings and lightnings like people's never seen. I really believe that. I think we need to preach that more. I think we need to get off of this stuff on five ways to be a success. I think we need to get off of this stuff on five ways how to be happy. Or six ways how to have a good marriage. Or 12 ways how to make a lot of money in the Lord. What we need to get back is old-fashioned, fire-breathing, barn-storming, wind-rattling, shingle-pulling, preaching, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice, show my people their sin. That's what we need to get back to. But you see, that don't draw big crowds. And it don't draw big offerings. And let's be honest. The three B's in Baptist churches now are budgets, buildings, and baptisms. And the only reason they want the baptism is because the more you baptize, the more they're going to give. And the bigger you can build a building, and the bigger your little kingdom's going to be. And we don't want to say anything that'll hurt people's feelings. Preacher, you need to be nice now. I'm probably not one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. That don't mean that God wants me to be a little pussyfoot, nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, panty-waist preacher. Amen. We got these little preachers running around here now. There ain't enough man in them. There ain't enough man in them. Some of them probably go to that wife, that husband beaters anonymous, where their wife beats them up, and they got to go over there. Let me tell you something. when the fire falls, they're going to be looking for somebody to tell them the truth. When the fire falls, they're going to wish they'd listen to old grandma, old grandpa, that dinosaur church down there on John Street up on the hill, that bunch of dinosaurs down there. They're going to wish they'd listen, brother. And it's going to get to the point where they're going to cry out for the rocks to fall on them. Hide me from God. He's coming. Hide me from God. Well, it's not going to work because the Bible says you can descend into hell. He's there. Or you can ascend up to heaven. He's there. You can't get away from God. You run all you want to. But I'm telling you, and I'm not going to get any farther than this because I'm telling you, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. But that ain't even hardly the beginning. Look at that next verse. And the seven angels which had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Well, that was just a warning shot. What was fixing to come. Now next week, we're going to get into some things. We're going to look at each one of those trumpets. And we're going to see when that trumpet sounds exactly what's going to happen. And some of it's going to even look like it's happening now, but it's not. Not to the degree it will then, see. Now, there's always been earthquakes. And by the way, I have a theory about earthquakes. I forgot my verse. Isaiah says that hell hath enlarged itself to receive thee. And we know hell's in the heart of earth. Even scientists know that the heart of earth is molten rock and fire. And as hell expands, that rock around it melts, and it's got to go somewhere. And it finds a crack, and it works its way to the top, and you got a Hawaii. And every day, those volcanoes are spewing off that molten rock. And more people going to hell, and hell's getting larger and larger and larger. And one day, he's going to empty hell and throw it into the lake of fire. Going to take it out of the heart of the earth. And I think it's the sun. Now, if you disagree with me, that's fine. But the sun is a lake of fire. And he's going to take that heart of the earth out, which is hell. And he's going to cast it into that lake of fire. And they'll burn forever and ever and ever. Don't let these lying scientists say the sun's going to burn out. They're just making that stuff up. They ain't never seen one burn out. They're making it up to keep their money coming. It's coming. The fire's falling. It's coming. Could be any day. He said, the day when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. It ain't going to be long. We're going to hear a trumpet ourselves. It's not going to be these trumpets. We're not going to hear the trumpet of judgment. We're going to hear the trumpet of deliverance and victory. Amen? That thing's going to say, da-da-da-da! Come up hither. And buddy, we out of here. In a moment, in the twinkle of eye, twinkle your eye one time. That's how fast we're going to be gone. Amen. All we're going to leave behind is a pile of clothes and a pool of blood because our blood can't go to heaven. It's tainted with the sin of Adam. And we're going to leave that blood and we're going to leave those clothes laying there and he's going to clothe us with his glory and we're going to go and forever to be with the Lord in the air. Amen. Well, I can't wait. See, I'm not going to be here when that censer gets thrown down. I'm going to be gone. And I'm certainly not going to be here when those seven trumpets go off. I don't care what that crazy preacher in Texas or wherever it is you heard that from. I'm not going to be here. I'm gone. I've been promised that he's going to deliver me and he's going to take care of me. I'm not going through a tribulation period. This is the closest thing to tribulation I'll ever see. This is the closest thing to hell I'll ever go to right here. I'm going to be delivered. Boy, I can't wait. I wish I could play the trumpet. Can anybody here play the trumpet? Can you play the trumpet? Son, the Lord sent you. You need to bring that trumpet. And one night while I'm preaching, listen, one night while I'm preaching, I'm going to have you hiding in the back room back there. And I'm going to have somebody else on the power switch and I'm going to have them turn out the lights. And when they turn out the lights, you go, da-da-da-da! And I'm going to give somebody this microphone, and they're going to say, "Come up hither." And I'm going to do this right here. And then they're going to turn the lights back on. And you're going to think you got left behind. Amen. Hey, he's come. You ready? You ready to go? Thank God I don't have to worry about those tribulations, those trumpets, that fire, that judgment. All mine was poured out right there. 2016 years ago, God poured His wrath out on His Son. He said, "Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" God turned His back on His Son for just a little while because He poured His wrath out on His Son because of our sins. And the Bible says He took our sins on His body on that tree. He did that so that we wouldn't have to see the death and the destruction and the judgment of a holy God. It was poured on Him. Now, we've been delivered from it. That ought to make a Baptist shout. Amen. That ought to make another Methodist get baptized. Man, we need to find some Presbyterians, get them under too. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? Are you excited about it? I am. I'm excited. Now, it used to scare me. I'd have nightmares until I got saved. And I say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." I wish I could sing. I'd sing any day now. Any day now. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God.